listen. Do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa.
Okay. I don't know what the purpose of that is.
I don't either. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Man, the level spikes so much when I laugh.
Did it tickle you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't seem that different.
Don't ever touch me again. Okay. Hello, and welcome to Kiss and Tellcast. I think episode 23. That's what the label says.
Yeah, so it must be right.
It must be right. So I'm in beautiful Seattle with Mario Domo in his room that seems a little less moist than usual. What are you pointing at?
It's kind of nice right now.
No, it's like awful. And it's awful. I hate it here.
It's like you get the like street lamps reflecting light on the cobblestones on your window.
No, I've been in Mexico for the last week, and it was sunny and warm and beautiful, and I spent my days on the beach.
Whatever, you hated it.
I hated all of the people trying to sell me different hats and sunglasses. I really did not like sombreros? That. I hated all of the people. Yeah, sombreros. And I don't remember what glasses are called, but I did not want them either.
I don't know.
Was not interested. Or in their plates. That actually, the people that really amazed me. You know, you have like the sunglasses guy and you have the hat guy and you can kind of see those guys on the beach. And you have the guy that'll do the henna tattoos and the hair braid. But sure. The guy that was like walking with vases and plates strapped all over his body, I had sort of a begrudging respect for.
Oh, what? Why would anyone buy?
I don't. On, while on the beach, a, like a foot and a half a wide vase? Platter with a, I don't know. It was pretty awesome. And there was that, and there were the timeshare people, but the weather was really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the sun every day, and there were no clouds every day.
There and before were, that, or there weren't?
There were not.
Oh.
And before that, I was in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of that area.
And I went on a scouting mission to explore UCSC, and I decided I did not want to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to go to NYU, even though it costs $1 million.
Yep.
And now I'm in Seattle with Mare,
mm-hmm.
and it's beautiful outside.
Scott's being sarcastic.
I'm not. It's not.
It's not bad. It's okay.
Mari, it's inside. Spring break.
You don't have to go outside.
Mari, you went outside today with me.
Yeah. I went outside a couple times today.
No problem. We got a bucket of secrets. So I think we should just get started with them on this.
Let's
beautiful.
Jump in that bucket.
Saved them for a rainy day.
This is the first one, right?
Yes, okay. I believe it is.
I have a problem with wanting to date my best mate's girlfriends. Should I act on these urges after they've broken up?
Mari, do you have any thoughts on this? Do you think that's a good idea?
I think this person's Australian.
Because of the mates?
Mm-hmm.
And no one else would say that?
Well, they can say that in, like, the UK, right?
But, yeah, I think so, but...
But I think it's right. Australian.
Just because it sounds like a thing an Australian would do?
No, I just feel like our readership, or our listenership is in Australia.
That may be true. And that's all you have to say about this?
That's all I got.
So I only have one thing to say about this, and it only struck me today. Because at first, we've had this email for a little while, and I didn't quite know what to say. It's not a great idea, but people do it. It may not be the worst idea. But then I realized something.
Yeah.
And I realized, and I think I was helped by Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I got out of this was...
Wait, where is this going?
Here's where it's going, Mari. If you're a king...
Okay.
And someone just walks up to you with some fruit, or some mead, or some mutton...
Or some... Vases.
Or some vases. You don't just eat or drink immediately, Mari. You know why?
Why?
Because it might be poisoned. And that is why you have royal tasters. And if someone brings you meat or mutton or whatever, you have the royal taster taste it. And if they die, you know not to get involved with them.
This is weird.
So, basically, this guy's friends are his royal tasters. And they're bringing these girls into his realm of existence. And he can look at... You don't agree with this?
No.
So here's the problem. If they break up, he knows that she's poison.
No, that's not how it works. It's not her fault.
And that he should not get involved with her. However, if they stay together happily, he should sleep with her. Because that way he knows that she's not poison. And I think this is infallible logic, and I think it'll work every time.
That's such a dangerous way to think.
You know, that's a good idea. I don't know. I feel like there's that saying, and I wish I knew who said it, and I wish I even knew the exact phrasing, but it's that thing that something like, you know, no matter how beautiful she is, somewhere someone is sick and tired of her.
Sure.
And I guess it comes down to almost like a grass is greener kind of thing,
uh-huh,
but like...
It's kind of the opposite.
It's a little bit, but to me, this is also very lazy. This is like, rather than going out and finding girlfriends, he's just like a girlfriend scavenger. He's like a girlfriend hyena. And he only pounces on the dead and dying corpses of girlfriends wasting away on the savannah.
I wouldn't say that, because he's like, the ones that he's lusting over are the ones that are like in relationships or I'm assuming are in a good place to be with someone.
Yeah, but his friends brought them to the den.
But they're like alive.
Well, they're alive for now.
It's okay. When he says, should I act on these urges after they've broken up? It sounds like he's not even that interested.
I don't know. There's so many stupid things you could go. There's no good logic for this. You can go bros before, etc. But
how about you say yes and I say no, and then this guy just has to flip a coin or something.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's good. Yeah. If the girls are made of poison, don't date them.
Make your own decisions.
Well, no.
Once back in high school, I was on my back with my girlfriend on top, dry humping. Okay, hold on. Yes.
Okay.
She was bottomless, but I was still wearing underwear. Afterwards, I went into the bathroom and discovered tons of skid marks all over the front of my tighty whities. I buried them in the trash and snuck into my bedroom to get a clean pair. I don't think she ever knew.
Okay. First, I just want to just take out the one line, she was bottomless, just because that has sort of a beautiful poetic ring to it.
You think so? She was bottomless?
She was bottomless.
That's too much.
I don't know what it means. Mari, what do you think about this secret? This is a true secret, and this is something that he can't talk to her about it. He probably doesn't want to talk to people about it because it kind of reflects badly on him and her. What do you think about this?
I was on my back with my girlfriend.
Do you feel like you have a full grasp of the mechanics? I feel like I understand pretty well what's going on here.
I did, but okay, hold on. I was on my
She's just back. On top of him, grinding away.
How did skid marks get?
Well, she was grinding for everything. It was a very, a very dedicated grind.
Dedicated grind? Okay. Yeah. Is that the name of your new rap album?
Yes, it is. Okay. Dedicated to the grind.
I don't have to get it.
No, well, I see it. I see this scenario. I see what happens. I see it all comes together.
I understand,
I feel like he made the gallant choice. Like, he made the gentlemanly choice, which was bury that underwear and we will never speak of this again.
Uh-huh.
I feel like he made the right choice. I think this is tricky because you don't even want to say that the girl's gross. Maybe she was gross, but it's
not her fault.
Well, maybe it was a little. She could maybe be a little cleaner. But here's the thing:
you and your like moist naps.
No, they're wipes. Mari, the thing though that I think is important to take away is that people are disgusting.
Yeah,
they're just gross. You're just bags of fluids. And you've got oils and skins and hair and flaky dead pieces of you. Like, people are just gross. Yeah. And it's easy to, you know, walk around forgetting that that's true. Mm-hmm. But people have fluids and things and that just happens. And
everybody
sometimes
poops.
Everybody does. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, sometimes things can happen or whatever that even tidy people that,
yes.
you know, think
yeah.
things can happen here. I've not been in this exact scenario, but I've been in scenarios that are close enough for this to ring kind of true, where they're, you know, things were just not maybe as clean or as nice or whatever, you know, and it's not, I have to say, I had a hard time not, I've had it kind of go both ways. In one case, it's sort of something that I could just, you know, look over and be done with. But in another case, it was sort of like, well, that was maybe a deal breaker. That was maybe. So I'm curious what happened after.
Interesting.
I'm curious what happened after this. Because it says my girlfriend. So it doesn't sound like a one-time thing. It sounds like they kept going for a while.
Yeah, I don't know about the terminology. It might just mean girlfriend at the time.
I don't know. I think you made the right choice. I appreciate you sitting in this secret because I feel like we haven't had a secret like this in a while.
Whatever. I think it's fine. It's not like a deep, dark secret. It's not like you murdered anyone.
And it's also sounds like it was a one-time thing, hopefully, and not something that happened over and over and over and over and over.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't think she's gross or whatever. I feel like we get a whatever. I don't know. Next one.
Yes, Mari, sure.
I was just gonna say, I feel like we sometimes get secrets from guys, and it ends up being one of those bros before hoe situations where it's like, girls are so weird, and guys are like this, and blah blah blah.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think this is like a,
yeah. Whatever. Okay.
So this is a weird thing.
Yeah,
Murray, we got a this week or the last 2 weeks, I guess, since we last recorded, we got three almost identical emails.
Well, there's a very
similar formula, mm-hmm. and it's about young ladies, I assume, and their relationship with their boyfriends and their opinions about some of their boyfriend's habits. So we thought we would just crank through the three of them and maybe talk about the highlights.
These are different people, right? Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Okay, so first one. I hate my boyfriend's soul patch. I'm a very manipulative girl, but I would never use my powers to change him because I love him just the way he is, except for that damn soul patch. It's like kissing a furry animal.
Okay, soul patch is number one.
Soul patch, okay. Oh, wait, no, that's not right. I hate how my boyfriend is so selfish in bed and in everything we do together. But at the same time, it makes me, I don't know, want him more. What is wrong with me?
Okay.
I honestly hate how my boyfriend is such a cheap ass, but I love him too much to mind his cheapness. Bleh.
What do you think about this strange kind of dual sentiment we're getting from these ladies? That I hate him, but I love him.
I don't really know how to feel about it. Well, like, soul patch thing is a...
Okay, well, I think soul patch is the easy one to solve. Because no one needs a soul patch.
No
one needs a soul patch. Absolutely not. And you're fine disliking it. And especially if it's not just like an aesthetic thing, like you don't like the look at it. But if you don't like kissing him, that's a bigger problem. But the thing is, soul patches were semi in style briefly, late 90s or early 2000s,
did
I think.
Did someone I know have a soul patch?
I knew a number of people that had soul patches. Here's the thing, though.
Did you have a soul patch?
I don't know. They never even really grow.
Okay.
Are you thinking I had a soul patch?
I thought you had like a little tuft of something.
I don't think I occasionally, when I have a ridiculous handlebar mustache, I leave that little spot there. But I don't even, like, look. It doesn't even grow here.
Okay, I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
No, I assume, I think it's like that stripe, like that skunk stripe. Like that big one.
But no, like, I think of a tuft.
A tuft. Well, anyway, it's
a patch.
Unless your brother, okay.
Your brother.
Not your brother, your boyfriend. Is a brother. That's unless your boyfriend truly has soul. Maybe if he has soul, then it's okay. But
if he's like James Brown,
maybe if he's James Brown, I think that some kinds of facial hair have more utility than just an aesthetic choice.
Utility.
Yeah, like think about somebody who has a really weak chin.
Oh, I see.
And so they wear, you know, they have a goatee or a beard to hide the weak chin. Or somebody that has like a weird upper lip or small upper lip or something like that. Then they wear there's reasons that people choose to, they feel like that these certain facial hairs counter as some physical shortcoming.
Yeah.
Soul patch doesn't really cover anything except you look at in the mirror and you think that I don't look like enough of a douchebag. And I feel like I just need something. Something to accentuate that.
Yeah,
something
well, to point you could put out. A fedora on instead.
Soul patches and fedoras go together well.
Yeah.
Soul patches also go together well, I think, with backwards baseball caps and gauged ears.
Oh, that's a different thing entirely. That's
yeah, but it's still look. A kind of soul patch.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend that's doesn't need a soul strange. Patch. I think it's okay to say that you don't like a soul patch. It's tricky because in general, the rule is like, you know, you fall in love with the person, you don't want to change them, and you kind of... compromise and things like that. But I think it is also fairly common for people, you know, to want to look good for their significant other and to be willing to change and even not even care that much. Mm-hmm. Especially fellas, I feel like, you know, are pretty willing to be dressed up or styled mm-hmm. in certain ways. So I think you are okay to get rid of the soul patch.
You should just shave it off while I sleep.
Make it sexy. Have a sexy soul patch shaving.
Maybe you should put a soul patch on while you kiss him and see how he likes it.
Yeah. You know? A little taste of his own medicine. Okay, so that one I feel like we got covered.
Yeah. Easy.
Skip to the end, the cheap one.
Cheap one. Okay.
That's one of those age-old things. I mean, that's just a fairly stock complaint, I think. Don't you think? I mean, as far as like...
Cavemen talking about... Oh, he doesn't have enough bones.
Enough shells. Okay. I don't know. What do they use? You know, but I feel like this is a stock. You know, this is one of those perennial things. Like the wife thinks the husband's too cheap or what. You know, that kind of thing. I feel like this is almost not even cliche so much as like archetypal. Like it's just just a common...
Even the soul patch one feels that way. It's like, why are you in a relationship with this person?
Get his soul patch out of there. The cheapness, that's a hard one. And that's really hard on a person because so much of that, I feel like, comes from their upbringing and their parents and his dad and all of that stuff. So that's like a bigger thing. That's not just, you know, a passing phase of some goofy thing on a face. So I...
Yeah. Well, for me, this feels like a kind of a young person talking. And I have a problem with kiss and tell questions or secrets, and I think everything's about me. So I was wondering if...
Are you cheap?
I'm not cheap.
Mari bought me dinner tonight.
Right now, I have some money.
He's rich.
But before, I was very poor. And it's not that I'm cheap. I'm just poor. So I don't, you know, I thought this was about me at first. So I asked Christina if it was about me. Or if she sent this in, she said no.
I wrote it.
Okay.
About you.
Yeah.
You know what the
thing that poor.
The trick is with this one, though, I think, and I think the reason we can't go deep into it is because there's such a broad spectrum of what this expectation might be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on one end of the spectrum, it could be something like, he's so cheap, you know, he doesn't always pick up dinner and doesn't always buy me, you know?
Like
there's,
buy me
there's
roses.
Certainly a type of person that would have those expectations. But at the other end, you know, then in the more middle thing, he's like, you know, he doesn't pay his half of things or doesn't pay his half of the utilities or doesn't leave good tips.
I don't know anyone like this right now. I can only think of like teenagers or old married couples.
Yeah. Well, definitely the old married couple. I think to me, I don't know. It's just a guess is a tip thing.
Tips?
Yeah. Tips. Because some people get really bugged by tips that they don't feel like are adequate, especially people that have worked as servers. Feel like they have a lot of skin in the game. I don't know. It's just a guess.
Maybe.
But anyway, of the three.
I'm pro tip.
Pro tip. I appreciate that, Mari. I have mixed emotions about tips. I think people that live on the tip wage.
Yeah.
Should get tips because it's how it works.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, there was just a podcast that Stuff You Should Know did about tipping that you should all go listen to if you want to know about tips.
You want to summarize it for me?
That tipping is really stupid, and it basically came from bribing servants not to talk about how disgusting you were or to help you when you threw up all over yourself, and that it only came to America when big companies realized, wait a second, if we make it seem like tipping's a good idea, we don't have to pay our employees.
Oh no!
So they basically, it was basically just a corporate move to say, oh, we don't pay our porters. They're paid by our tips,
right,
by your tips. So you guys have to pay them. And there are even signs up that would say stuff like that. Yeah. So I kind of hate I hate tips on principle, but that doesn't mean I begrudge, you know, it's not some server's fault that's how she makes her living. So on principle, I hate tips, but I do still tip.
I have to say, I've been thinking, I think about tips quite often.
Yeah. Do you want me to tip you?
Sure. sometimes people, there's a coffee culture in Seattle is very weird, and some people don't feel like they should tip for coffee, especially when it's like Stumptown and you just go over, you take your cup and you press a lever and you get it yourself.
Yeah.
But when you tip like a dollar, that dollar is being spread among like three or four people at least. So
yeah, but people tip a dollar on a like $2 or a $3 coffee,
but
so they end up paying massive percentage.
It's a dollar.
Baristas do not work on tip wage.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's fine.
They get paid.
Yeah, they get paid. They don't get paid much, though.
They get paid more than a waitress who actually works for tips. Right. It's a contentious debate. I hate tips. I feel like no one should get tips. I feel like everybody should just get paid better.
Yes.
Because the only person that wins with tips is the company. Because they get to pay their employee less. And then you, in addition to paying the company for the thing you bought, are also paying the employee. It's crazy. Only companies benefit from tips. Unless you're like a waitress in Vegas and you get like $5 to drink because people are trying to show off. I don't know.
That's not just Vegas, though. That's like everywhere.
Well, but that's where drinks are free. So you feel like you really have to tip there.
Huh.
Anyway, this doesn't need to be about tips, Mari, because
it
is about, it's about being selfish in bed.
Okay. My boyfriend is selfish in bed and in everything we do together. This person, okay, I'm just going to read it again.
Yeah,
I hate how my boyfriend is so selfish in bed and in everything we do together. But at the same time, it makes me, I don't know, want him more. What is wrong with me?
What's wrong with you? Well, do you want to know what's wrong with her?
Yeah.
She's a girl.
That's not a very nice way to put it.
I'm sorry. It's not that it just happens to girls. I think it happens to dudes, too. It's that, you know, it's the play hard to get thing, or it's the surefire way to get a girl is to ignore her. That's like the guaranteed way to get a girl's attention. That's
the way to get a certain girl's attention.
That's the way to get
any girl's attention.
I feel like it's a very successful thing. Have you seen that chart? I'll find it and put it in the show notes. That's like, based on experience, the best way to get a girl's attention. And it's really small, small little pie slices. And then a huge one is ignore her. And I feel like that has served me well.
That's not horrible.
Now, once I'm involved with someone, that's hardly that. I don't know. I'm not this kind of person. I try to be very generous, particularly in bed.
But the way I get people's attention is that I give them attention.
Well, Murray.
I don't... Because... What? No.
I'm sorry. But she likes it. She's a certain
kind of person.
Well, she is. So, I think that you recognize it. And that's maybe a start. I mean, it's one of those, I don't know, Mario, there's so much tangled up with this. It's like the nice guys finish last thing.
Exactly.
And it's
her. Which is so stupid.
It's so stupid. And she's participating in it and furthering it by letting this guy be a jerker. But if she likes it, she's kind of getting fulfilled in a, you know, it's a weird thing because she's calling him selfish, but in a way she's getting satisfied in a different, she's being satisfied by his selfishness. You know what I mean?
Wants him more. Yeah, this is complicated.
Or it could be that she feels like she doesn't have a good grasp on him and it makes her kind of desperate and she has to grab more. It's tricky. And I think that some dudes, I think that just comes naturally to a lot of dudes who are kind of jerks. I think some dudes are, you know, or not even just dudes. Some people are more manipulative and use that kind of to their advantage.
Sometimes, but sometimes they're just like closed off and emotionless because they're dumb.
Maybe he's just a selfish jerk. I think that... Okay. I don't know. Selfish in bed, I don't have a lot of excuses for.
Okay, even if she likes to be with this guy because he's kind of closed off and selfish, that doesn't mean that he's right for her.
Yeah. No, I don't like this guy. Especially not being selfish in bed to me says he like hits it and then rolls over when he gets off and
goes to sleep.
Yeah, which does not work for me.
And everything we do together. Everything?
Everything, Mario.
That sounds horrible.
Everything. When they get an ice cream cone, he eats most of the ice cream cone, and he bites out the bottom and sucks out the melty part. When they get, what else, Mario? When they get Cracker Jacks, he keeps the toy. When they get cotton candy, he eats most of the cotton candy and gives her the gross
and
sticky part.
He eats the cone part,
and
too.
He eats the paper cone part. He's just a jerk, Mario. And
I don't know.
Some girls like jerks. Some boys like jerks. It happens. I'm sorry that you're with this person. I'm sorry that you like it. Maybe you shouldn't like it.
I don't know what the solution is. Find a jerk that likes you? Maybe? I don't know. How does that work?
There's got to be some balance. And I think that, I don't know, in a weird way, I feel like it's easier to get a generous guy to be selfish than it is to get a selfish guy to be generous. Like,
right.
You know, like...
Some people are hard about being selfish.
Yeah, I don't know. This is tricky. It's a difficult secret. I don't think there's anything wrong with you because I think it's a common thing. But if it's really a problem and you don't like it, and you realize maybe you just need to look at what it is that's making you want him. And if you're wanting him more because it really turns you on and you find it sexy and that's just a thing for you, that's one thing. But if it's making you want him more because you're feeling like desperate for his attention or something like that, then it doesn't sound very good to me.
It seems
like
you want something more, not him necessarily.
Yeah. Maybe you... Does he have a soul patch?
Probably.
He sounds like the type.
And a fedora.
I hate this guy. Mario, what is next?
I don't know. A security camera at work has captured a homeless couple having late-night sex outside the building's entrance. It has happened multiple times. It's not at all erotic, but I find it fascinating, like enjoying a good nature documentary on TV. Am I a bad person for watching it?
Mari, do you have any experience with homeless people or public sex?
Any experience with homeless people?
Oh, I don't know. Anything you'd like to share?
I don't even know what that is. What's a homeless person?
Would you like to share? Would you like to share anything? Does this ring any bells for you?
With people having sex?
Or any insight?
People have had sex on this bed that you're sitting on right now.
Well, yes, know. That's true. But what? But not homeless people.
Homeless people.
Do homeless people have sex on your stoop outside your window?
Do they?
I feel like I've seen some homeless people in the bushes having sex. I feel like I was at this strange...
Around these parts?
No, I think it was in...
Just in general?
I think it was in Portland.
Okay.
I don't think... homeless people have sex, too.
Yeah.
They do
has
it.
Sex. Everyone
Yeah,
poops.
Everybody does it. The thing that this made me think of that kind of made it stand out to me
uh-huh.
was that I used to have a friend who worked at the Capitol building in Texas.
Okay.
And so Capitol building of Texas is big and pink.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's like a... It looks
what
like...
Is it? Okay.
You know, like the big white Capitol buildings? It's yeah. like those, which is pink.
Pink?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds gross. Like flesh color kind
it's
of?
It's a
like,
little fleshy.
That's so weird.
Anyway, in the middle under the big dome, there's a giant seal of Texas.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason,
Is this within the dome?
Yeah. Well, it's under the dome. Like on the main level, but the dome goes all the way up.
Right.
And you can look
okay.
all the way up.
And then, okay.
And for that. Some weird reason, there's kind of a tradition or a I don't know what it is, but there's this feeling that people want to have sex on the seal of Texas, like under the view of the portraits of the fathers of Texas of Davy Crockett
taboo.
And Sam Houston. So my friend would say, like, he would be with the security guards, and like when they were locking up and closing down at the end of the night, it was relatively common for people to want to run up very quickly, sprawl out on the the star, the seal of Texas, and try to climax before they could get chased off by the security guards.
Really? Wait,
yeah.
Homeless people? Or
no,
like,
just people in general.
That doesn't make
and so
any sense.
They're like, the security guards would be like watching the camera, and so people would run in and drop trow and try to work
Wait,
at it and
okay,
get out of
so
there.
So are there security guards stationed around this?
I think there normally are, but I think at like the closing time, they're like all over the grounds, like closing gates and seeing people out and things like that.
Okay.
As far as I understand,
there's not like a person just like watching that.
No, and there's maybe like a guy who sees it on the screen and he walkie-talkies to the guy
okay.
and that guy has to run there
yeah.
and they have to get out. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's maybe I don't know if they want there's the girl to conceive there and have Texas powers.
Ooh.
Like Sam Houston powers or Daniel Bowie powers, or
sure.
Davy Crockett powers.
Yosemite Sam powers.
Yosemite Sam powers. So I can see it from that perspective. Other than that, you know, homeless people got to do those things too. Homeless people have feelings and urges.
Well, the question is, am I a bad person for watching it?
You said that it's not erotic, which makes me feel more comfortable. If you were watching it and masturbating at work, I would think it was a little over
that
the top.
Is that bad?
But I don't know. I feel like this is.
They don't have to be masturbating to get off, really.
I feel like there's a whole dimension of being a security guard.
Do you think they're a security guard? It just says, well, I guess. I don't
or
know.
Being, you know, around the security guards or whatever, but being in a position to where you can watch security cameras, I feel like it's.
Yes.
Like
I
there's
suppose.
A thing. It's a thing to just watch
it's power.
What people are doing, what crazy things they're doing.
Uh huh.
Because even aside from homeless people having sex, I'm sure weird stuff happens in security cameras all the time.
Yeah. I wonder where this person works.
Probably the capital of Texas.
It could be like a 7-Eleven or something. And it's just like a camera of like the back door.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? It totally could be something like that. And these people just have no idea. I don't know. I don't think you're necessarily a bad person. Probably if you started a website called Bum Sex.
Yeah, that's bad.
Well, bum sex is probably already taken.
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. I don't think this person's bad at all. But when you get into, like, inviting your friends over to watch homeless people have sex, that's kind of weird. And the part where you say it's not erotic kind of bothers me because they're people.
Well, but I can, you know, I could kind of imagine that, like, two bundled up people are, you know, like...
Yeah.
Just kind of leaning on each other, and it's grainy and black and white, and there's no sound. I could see it really being like watching two animals more than just.
I think maybe you should like put up a sign. I don't know. I feel like you shouldn't treat it like it's like a weird, like natural occurrence where just these two animals walk up. Maybe they don't like being watched, you know?
Maybe
you should put up a sign that says, hey, there's a camera.
You're
over
on camera?
Here.
There probably already is one.
If they like being watched, that's fine. Yeah. But if they don't know...
So put up a sign that says, if you want to be watched having sex...
Yes.
Do just it.
Please sex here.
Right now. Sign here.
Yes.
Sign... Okay.
But not a bad person.
Yeah, you're okay. I think I would I would have to at least look at that once as well.
This is not the neighbor BJ chick from before. So I'm 18 and I have a neighbor who is so hot. I don't want to date him. All I want to do is blow him. I don't know anything about his dick, but I've never wanted a dick more in my life. How do I go about giving him a BJ? And what if when I unwrap the present and what if when I unwrap the present I find coal?
So just as a reminder, once upon a time we had a problem. I think it was a married woman with kids.
And is that what it was?
I think so. And I think she really wanted to get involved with the neighbor and really wanted to go down on him. So.
And I said, do it.
I think you did. You're a bad person.
I'm okay with that.
So here's what I think about this. The thing... I don't know. The thing that's weird to me about this, and I guess the thing I really want to talk about, is the how do I go about giving him a blowjob? Because I cannot think of an easier transaction in the world. And I will tell you.
Ding dong.
Well, let me... I will relate to you two anecdotes.
Oh, God. Oh, and God.
And I will keep them...
Shut up.
It never happened.
Get out of quite town.
Okay. Just by comparison, I just want you to realize how easy the problem you have is. And the two most successful examples would be, one, a young lady who I'd been friends with for a while, and one day we were just hanging out sitting there, and she said, I want to go down on you. And then she did. And it was that simple.
There you go.
It was not complicated. She opened her mouth and said those words. We had not, like, fooled around. We hadn't done anything before. One day she just said that.
Oh, God.
And that was that.
Gross.
Even more direct was once a young lady who I was... hanging out with, similar circumstances, who was kind of leaned back, reclined.
Yeah.
Did not, and I was wearing yoga pants. Mm-hmm. Like I had on my pajama bottoms. And she pulled down the front of them with her feet. And before I knew what was happening.
Was this during a yoga class?
No, it was at my house. Pulled down the front. And before I knew what was happening, was already doing it.
Okay.
So there was not even a question. It was just happening.
Well, you don't want to jump this guy's bones, really.
Well, I don't know. That is the closest I have been to, like, semi-sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
But in the end, it was okay. So that's maybe a little too direct, but I don't think that's the problem. Like, looking for a delicate way to approach this, I feel like it's pretty easy to give someone a blowjob. It's a gift that's not hard to give. And... unless, I don't know, who knows, he may be way older, maybe he's married, maybe there's all these other things that complicate it, but just on the simplest, most pristine level, like, giving a book, like, that is a gift that seems like would be, and aside from, you know, outside right. circumstances, would be rarely refused. The thing I need to stress, though.
Right.
That's really important.
Yes.
That's so important.
Okay, what is it?
About the coal part.
The coal?
Is that... to avoid scarring this man for life, you can't go up to him and approach it however you're going to approach him, you know, whether it's just hit your knees and open his pants. You can't do that and open his pants and then change your mind and then close them and walk away.
That'd be pretty shitty.
I think you can't do that. I think that would be a really damaging thing to a person. So mm-hmm. I think the thing to remember if you're going to do this, which I'm not really encouraging. I think it's probably not a great idea. But if you're going to do it, I feel like you really got to go in there ready to finish the job. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, wouldn't that be horrible? What if... So, thinking now, back to those two stories I just related.
Ugh.
What if the girl had said, I want to go down on you, and then after opening my pants, changed her mind?
That would destroy you.
I would be ruined for life. Or when that girl, like, pulled my pants down, if she just pulled them right back up. Ruined for life.
Yeah,
you're ruined for life.
You are a delicate flower.
I'm a very delicate flower, and that would be crushing.
Okay, so, well, okay. I'm not sure that she really thinks that is a problem, because she's saying that she does not want to date him.
No, but I mean the Cole part.
But the problem for her, regardless of Cole, the problem for her is that she does not want to enter into a relationship with this person and wants to be purely sexual.
You're right. You're right.
So
it's probably really hard to go up to a guy and say, I want to give you a blowjob with no strings attached.
I don't know. That's weird.
I Well, Mari, I understand what you're saying, because if a total stranger or someone I knew only as a neighbor in passing,
especially did that, when she's 18, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I don't think I would do it. In both the cases I just related, I did know these people very well.
I would just pat them on the head and
slap them on the bottom, send them back home. So yes, the in my circumstances, there were people I knew well, and so it was
right.
I knew they weren't murderers. I knew they weren't going to do something crazy to me. I knew that it wasn't going to be a scary movie, but. But you know what you could also do is just keep it as a secret. Keep it as a little crazy.
These people?
These two girls? I don't want to discuss these.
Okay, That is a no.
I'd rather not discuss them.
Okay. It's complicated.
It is quite complicated, but the reasons I don't want to discuss them were not related to those senior blowjobs. Yeah. I don't know. A stranger out of the blue doing that. You're 18 years old. You don't need to get involved in weird stuff like this. I mean,
if this were the opposite, like if this was a guy who said, I have this neighbor lady who is so hot. And all I want to do is go down on her.
Haven't we said to do that definitely in the past? I feel like we've encouraged
for a young man to...
With a hot mom?
Well, not a hot mom. It says neighbor. It's kind of... I don't know what to...
I know. It's all ambiguous. I feel like... I don't think you should do it, but just to answer your two questions, I feel like going about it is not as complicated as you might think, and that the unwrapping the present thing, you got to be really careful how you handle that. But like any present in life, the real joy is in the anticipation, Mari.
Yeah, it seems like kind of a crush.
Yeah, you could just keep this
maybe
as
you don't want to do anything.
Yeah, maybe you just keep it, and then probably in a few years you might look back and say, man. Glad I didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm so glad I didn't get an STD from that weirdo.
From that weird neighbor, yeah. So I don't know. I'm pretty sure in my life, yeah, I think I can easily say with confidence that I have turned down more sexual opportunities than I have accepted.
Whatever.
I definitely have, Murray.
I know, but whatever. You don't have to tell people.
No. I don't. I just mean to say that. In general,
sure,
I feel good about those choices.
Yes.
I feel like I made the right decision in those cases. Now, when I'm 80, I might decide that that was a terrible idea,
mm-hmm.
and I should have just slept with everybody.
Yeah, I don't know.
We had a sign in the Dynamite Museum that said I should have slept with many more women. And sometimes it gives me pause.
Hmm.
But I...
Life's hard.
It is hard. So I feel like this is one instance that it's maybe okay to walk away with some regret.
I just had an idea, though.
Okay.
Okay, if this is in, like, an apartment building, which it doesn't sound like it is, it sounds like it's in houses.
That's how I envision it. There's a pool, and he's out trimming the hedges.
Like a white picket fence, and he's like...
Mr. Henderson is out there trimming the hedges.
He's hosing off, like, something. That's okay. Golden Retriever. Anyway.
Drinking from the hose with a just bulge in his pants.
Even if this isn't an apartment, you could maybe bake some cookies and say, like, oh, you know, I moved in here, or you moved in, and I never gave you, like, a welcoming gift, so I made you some cookies.
You know what, Mari? That is a great idea, because I get the feeling that she doesn't know him well, and it's just a hot dude she sees. So maybe try to get to know him a little bit, and my guess is that it will diffuse your crush, is my guess.
Yeah.
And if not, then you have, like, a more legitimate thing.
You have a new friend.
You have a new friend and maybe a new love.
And he's probably gay.
He's probably gay. So good luck with that.
Is this the one?
I don't know.
I'm in a long-distance relationship. One time when I was visiting my GF, we were swimming in her cousin's pool while her cousin's wife sunbathed with her eyes closed at the poolside. We started to kiss quietly, and eventually my girlfriend started grabbing me down there. We ended up having sex in the pool with her cousin's wife mere feet away from us. And it was one of the most exciting experiences of my life.
What do you think about this, Mari?
Pool
sex, public sex, cousins sex.
All that's fine, but I realized that I feel like the cousin's wife who was sunbathing probably knew something was happening. You hear a bunch of splashing and moans, maybe? Or just like dead stillness?
That is definitely one thing, because I think especially, I don't know what it is. I don't know where the switching point is, but I think it's really easy to assume when you're young that people don't know what you're up to when they know exactly what you're up to.
Yeah.
Your parents know what you're doing in the bathroom.
You just disappear for
hours.
They
know what you're doing in there. Sorry, guys. They know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, gross. Your parents were young once, too. They know.
Well, I think the thing is that kids, and this person sounds kind of older, but kids just, they don't know what they're doing.
They don't know. They don't know anything. I think, couple comments here. I am not a fan of pool or hot tub sex. It's one of those things that sounds super sexy, and then it's just sort of like...
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not... It's never worked super well for me. Other things can go on in there, but the for whatever reason, that hasn't worked. But I don't want to take away the, you know, one of the most erotic experiences.
I've never done anything like this, but I just imagine just like a bunch of water getting into places it doesn't belong.
Yeah, I don't know. Mari, what about the edge of detection sex? Like, do you have anything, like, you know, living on the edge, like inches away?
I don't really live on the edge at all, ever. But I guess my version of that is like maybe being too loud.
Okay.
When, you know, maybe you're like the walls are thin, but you kind of push it.
A little bit. I think I've mentioned on the show that I had some adventures in like closets at school although I actually had a memory jogged while I was at the airport. And
an airport experience?
Yeah. Which, because I was so, I've never pulled off in an airplane before. And I'm always kind of disappointed by it. It just never seems to work, especially now that everyone thinks you're a terrorist and you can't stand in line. Like, I've never managed it. And the last time I had like the closest chance, I think, was a few years ago. And I, you know, we couldn't pull it off.
Are like, you talking about in the plane?
In the plane, the bathroom. Okay. In the plane, in the bathroom. And so a few years ago, you know, and that's something I've always wanted to do. I feel like that's an important thing to check off your list, but it's just in these post 9/11 days.
You think it's still difficult? I don't feel like there's ever, or not ever, but I think there are times when people are not like watching.
There are, and I think there's cases where it can totally work. The plane isn't too full if it's dark hard, and you're in the back and all that. But for whatever reason, like the flights that I was on where it seemed like a practical thing, just didn't quite work out. Although,
I don't know.
Had a memory jogged that from a few years ago, I had been on a flight coming into Seattle and we had not been able to do that. But when we got off the plane, before we got to the baggage claim, we saw that in addition to the men's room and the women's room, there was a family changing room in the middle. Okay. And so we went in the family changing room and did it. And it was kind of insane because there's, you know, 12 million airport people passing by outside. So anyway, that was something that was recently
sounds nice,
but it was a pleasant thing, and it was a nice consolation from the bath, you know, not doing it in the plane bathroom. And there was more room and more, you know, it was a little less stressful, but
the plane would be so much better.
Mari, I know. And I almost had sex on a train.
I was gonna say
in London.
Train, okay.
But
what a train's called in London? A bobby. Right?
Yeah. I almost had sex on a bobby.
That's what they're called.
In London. No, but by the time we were on this train car, this really long ride, I think it might have been
on the Hogwarts Express.
On the Hogwarts. So I'm on the Hogwarts Express. And no, but I think we're coming from one of the airports, like Luton or one of the ones that's kind of out of town. And I don't remember. There's 85 airports.
Sure.
And they all have Hogwarts Airport, Hogwarts International.
I want to go to Hogwarts.
We all did, Mari. But by the we were on the train, totally alone, totally unattended to.
Totally alone?
Yeah,
the whole car is just
the
empty?
Whole car was empty for easily.
Okay, what kind of train is this? Is this like a New York subway kind of train where the seats face inwards, or is it like a Amtrak where they're?
It's almost like a cross between. It was almost like a light rail to the airport kind of thing. And for whatever reason, it was the car we were on was totally empty.
But lights are off. It's kind of a sleeper car.
No. It was a lit subcar, and it was making stops, but the stops were really long, and people weren't getting on. And we were kind of talking about it and nervous about it.
Uh-huh.
And we were nervous about it for easily 20 minutes or more.
You could have done it.
Totally long enough to do it. And by the time we worked up the courage, some joker got on.
Right.
Ruined it. Ruined everything.
Dude, yeah. But no.
I know. It was scary. It was difficult. So
then there would be that person who has that story, like, I got on the bus or the train super late at night. There were these people just going at it.
I was watching the security camera.
I had to sit there.
The bus.
there's also a story, like, my cousins, my husband's cousins were visiting, and they were just having sex in the pool, in our pool. And I just had to lay there.
And pretend like it didn't happen. You know that's what happened. Have you been in a situation? What are they gonna do? I have so been in a situation like similar, not that kind of thing, not even sexual, but where you were maybe asleep, but then you woke up during something that you shouldn't, that you knew was going on because the person thought you were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had to fake being asleep for a while. So this is, I hope this is one of those cases.
I think this is
one. Yeah, that cousin totally knew. And they're like, I can't just wake up while you're having sex. Or you could, unless they do like the really
quiet.
You do like the really fake yawn. Like,
you just suddenly hear a glass drop. I wonder if this person was wearing this cousin's husband or cousin's wife was wearing headphones or something.
Because sunglasses? You floaties?
Can't just lay there sunbathing without doing something else, I feel like, unless you're sleeping.
I don't know. She's going to get a sunburn. I don't know. Exactly. Mari. Anyway, good luck having sex, everybody, wherever you want.
You want to talk about Harry Potter a little bit?
While we're on the subject of it?
Yeah.
How upset I am?
Yeah.
And how both of us were surprised by what the so I've missed a lot of things happening because I've been traveling for the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
But Pottermore.
Pottermore.
Has launched.
Yeah.
And while walking down the street, Mari asked me which house I was, and I didn't even know that it had launched anything. And then Mari told me that the Sorting Hat had made an unexpected choice for him.
Well, see, I like Harry Potter, but I'm not super into the world. And
have you read all the books?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
I've
watched all the movies. I read 4 of the books, maybe. I was kind of one of those teens who didn't want, and I'm still kind of this way, I don't like things that other people like. Because I'm stupid like that.
No, I totally understand.
But I like the movies. You know, I'll read the books eventually. I just don't want to right now. But anyway, I don't really know much about Hufflepuff, but I felt like I was a Gryffindor. And so I thought that that's what I was going to get, but I got Hufflepuff. And then I was reading about how everyone thinks that they're retarded.
Yeah, they're remedial class, Mario. Everybody knows that.
And I don't like to use that word, but that's what everyone says.
Sorry, they're the dumb ones. Yeah. It says it really sweetly in the book. So, I don't know. I was very similar. I loved Harry Potter only from Wizard People because it's my favorite thing of all time. But
it's pretty great.
Got crazily sucked into it before the last two movies came out and read all of the books and watched all the movies at once. And I'm totally with you on generally, I assume if somebody, you know, if people like something and everybody likes it, there's something wrong with it.
Well, there's that. And there's also just fans can be so rabid.
So horrible. I know. But occasionally, something crazy happens. And the thing that everyone likes is actually good. It's rare, but sometimes, like the Beatles.
Yeah, yes.
Are good and everyone likes it. And I feel like Harry Potter's like that too. I feel like they're truly good books.
Totally.
And
both English somehow.
That's how it is. And so anyway, Mari tells me this. He tells me he's a Hufflepuff. And Mari is a kind and loyal friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what they said.
And so I was eager to get home.
Uh-huh.
Back to Mari's house and go through it. Just certain I would be a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Just
I had to do laundry, so you had some time to kill.
So I was... Mari, what did you think I was going to be?
I thought you were going to be Ravenclaw or... You know, I don't know about Gryffindor. That seems like too easy.
I wanted to be Gryffindor so bad, but I think my desire for it is what ultimately led to me being...
You're a driven person.
Well, that's what it is, right? Like, the Slytherins want to be... You know, they want power, and I think I wanted that Gryffindor so bad that the Sorting Hat knew it. And I even tried to, like, cater some of my answers that were a little ambiguous. I tried to make the choice that I thought would be the Gryffindor choice, and that was a very Slytherin thing to do, Mari.
I feel like we don't get the benefit of people in the Harry Potter universe of, like, having, like, a legacy of previous...
Families in our house.
Yeah,
I'm a little insulted and shocked. I was a little comforted when I remembered, you know, Harry's parting words to his son, Albus Severus Potter, before he went to school. But the thing that I think the thing that bothered me the most is in the movies, almost all of the Slytherin students were really ugly. Like, they were made to be hideous, which in the books I don't think was quite true, because there were some like that, like big oafish dumb people.
They got those teeth,
but
man.
They were, Joey Lumbermouth. But they're also supposed to be beautiful people. You know, like really beautiful, vain people are supposed to be in there too. And I didn't think
Malfoy
that was...
is kind of like
well,
that.
Well, he's the only one in the movie like that. So anyway, I'm a Slytherin.
Who's in Hufflepuff in the books?
Nobody.
Nobody?
Cedric Diggory.
Oh, is he? But he dies.
Is he? Or is he Gryffindor?
He's Gryffindor.
He's Gryffindor. No, it's the other... Really? Because everybody... Well, anyway, all of the people that think Harry did it, I think were in the... Hufflepuff. That thought he murdered Cedric.
Nuh-uh. Really?
Yeah.
Why would he do that? Oh, because we're crazy is why.
I don't know.
They're crazy loyal. I like how I'm now associating myself with the...
Well, everybody, you know, everybody thought that Neville should have been in Hufflepuff, but he got put in Gryffindor, and it turned out that he turned really handsome. And
oh, okay, yeah, he's Hufflepuff.
No, he ended up Gryffindor.
No, I mean, but he's like... Okay, Hufflepuff. People say like, oh, Hermione was supposed to be in Ravenclaw, and Ron was supposed to be in...
Hufflepuff? Yeah, but all Weasleys are Gryffindors.
But They were put into these houses to assist Harry in his journey.
Oh,
that's what they say.
Harry could have been a Slytherin too.
Okay, Ron, Neville, okay.
Right, Harry was supposed to be a Slytherin.
Right.
But he told the hat.
That doesn't make any sense.
I wish I could have told the hat. How many people do you think that are listening now care about all the Harry Potter we just talked about?
Some people? Oh, I don't care about that. Hold on.
Okay.
Someone I know, I forget who it was, got to pick.
What?
They were so close in between two that they got to pick. I don't remember who it was.
See, that's what I... That's... Why didn't the Sorting Hat ask me?
I don't know.
Is it because I picked that I like the ocean more than the castle? I hate it. It's so stupid.
Dude, I think I picked ocean too, though. There was a fork in the road.
I took a key instead of a gem.
I took a sword. Or a dagger. I thought it was going to be Gryffindor.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Whatever. But yeah, I don't know how many people care. I think most people care. Most people think it's funny or interesting.
Yeah, but don't you think... My feelings... Okay, first of all, the site is not very good. And the games are really kind of tedious and all that.
If I was younger, though, I would love it.
But don't you have the feeling, though... I think that if I had designed it... And then I swear, stop talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
If I had designed it, I would have made it where the questions very clearly indicated the house so that the kid could at once feel like they were playing a game and like it was a, you know, an adventure and an experience. But... That in the end, they would be rewarded and surprised by being put in the house that they wanted to be in.
Okay. But I feel like...
The reason they didn't do that is because every single person...
Would be Gryffindor.
Nobody would want to be Hufflepuff.
Tons of... Oh, yeah. I guess no one would want to be Hufflepuff.
Yeah, some people would want to be Slytherin because some kids like to be bad kids.
Yeah.
Some kids like to be Ravenclaw. No one wants to be stupid.
Because they're smart. But I've had some people come out of the woodwork and say, oh, I love Hufflepuff. And all three of them are cartoonists. I guess because I only associate with cartoonists. But they're like the kindest, sweetest people.
And I know.
I am proud to be.
I don't even remember a single one of their names from all the books, Mari, because they're not important. The only Ravenclaw I remember is Cha-Cha-Cha-Chang.
Well, if you go to the Wikipedia, notable Hufflepuff cartoonists are Ashley Davis, Coleman Engel, and Steve Wolfhard.
There's seriously a Wikipedia?
No, there isn't.
Wait. Okay.
Hufflepuff cartoonists? No.
I'm so sorry we talked so long about that.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I feel like maybe it doesn't give you what you want because it kind of, maybe just to fuck with you and to like,
well,
make
and
you
also,
think about your life.
If you noticed, I think the real reason is that there's this meta game of house points where different players, like each house is accumulating points from different players. Mm-hmm. And I imagine they wanted equal distribution between them.
Maybe.
So
maybe.
I think that that's more the case than.
That could be part of it.
Than. Even the questions.
Right.
I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, I answered all the questions perfectly for Gryffindor, but, like...
You think so?
So many people had waited towards that, and there weren't enough people answering Slytherin.
That seems too complicated.
That's how I would write it. Because you want it, do, like, the totals.
For me, I can't think that way. Like, it would just be like, well, numbers, 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 this way. Like that?
No.
No?
Numbers are hard, Mari.
Well, anyway, but...
Back to having sex in swimming pools?
Hold on. But people, I know people who are like, oh, that's not the house I want. I'm going to try again. And then they just do that.
Did that work?
And then they just play that way. And it's fine.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I'm not going any further in that game.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Mari, what is next?
God. That's
Am funny. I going to cut out all of that? I'm not going to.
No,
I'm going to leave every word of that. Okay.
Okay. Poetry is my life. This is a good segue.
Wait, you didn't do the one before this.
Yeah, I did. Oh, sorry.
Well, okay. I will do it in this order. Sure, Mari, since you love your segue.
Poetry is my life. Well, I just like... I think it's sweet. Poetry is my life, but I only share it with people I'm close to. They always tell me to publish it / share it more, but it's so personal I'm too scared. I wish I had more courage to share it.
Can I just interrupt with a brief news update?
Okay, Tanya Ohashi got Huffler.
She just says Huffer. Oh, you're right, Huffler. She says Huffler.
What does Lola say?
Oh, she was talking about premium gravy.
Every time I eat gravy, I hear your voice saying...
Premium gravy.
Premium gravy. Okay. So anyway, this poetry person.
Okay, sorry, Mari. Go ahead.
It's kind of the most disjointed show.
Yeah, it really is.
Poetry is my life. Do you want to read again?
Or? Yeah, I'm sorry. Please start again. I should not have interrupted.
Poetry is my life, but I only share it with people I'm really close to. They always tell me to publish it / share it more, but it's so personal. I'm too scared. I wish I had more courage to share it.
Mari, what are you going to tell this person to do right now?
Publish it / share it more.
On an anonymous live journal? Or Tumblr? Or should they just own it and just do it?
Okay. See, poetry on the internet is pretty shitty.
It is.
It's probably there's the worst place to put something.
Well, there's also a lot of bad drawings on the internet. There's a lot of bad music on the internet.
That's the thing.
There's a lot of bad everything on the internet.
But at least with drawing, it's kind of like there's a certain hoop you have to jump through. Like, oh, you have to draw this and you have to scan it. Or you have to have like a Wacom tablet. Or you have to have a really good control over using a trackpad and drawing. Okay. So there's kind of a...
But in this, you just have typing.
A rite of passage. But with typing, yeah.
It's almost as bad. I think I would... It's maybe a little easier, but I put it on par with photography.
Photography,
where people
yeah.
think they're photographers.
Where you have a camera or a webcam.
Yeah. Or Instagram.
Yes. Instagram is lovely.
I hate Instagram so much. It's so stupid.
I love it. I love the idea. Oh, whatever. I'm not going to talk about
you
it.
You love the ideas of making things look old?
No, not making things look old, but making things look slightly nicer than they would with a standard camera.
But...
And sharing things that people normally wouldn't.
With the lens of nicer being an obscure form of nostalgia for
yes.
artifacty photos yes. that were from limitations of technology and not an actual aesthetic choice of the age. That is yes. what our that
that's,
is what the,
that's what it is. But now it well now it's an aesthetic.
I don't like fake old things. Portland loves fake old things more than anything in the world.
Yeah.
They love it so much. Anyway, that is beside the
poetry
point.
Poetry is my life.
Mari, you think that they should share it and they should get it out there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying do it because other people are telling you to do it, because most of the time other people don't know what they're talking about.
That is what I want to say. First, those people are wrong. They're your friends and they love you, so they'll probably tell you nice things, just like they would say that's a great photo or that's a great drawing or that's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends are not the ones to listen to. If you really like it and you... So the most important thing to me is that you enjoy it. And if you enjoy it, you should put it out. And I think that in doing so, you'll grow and it'll get better. So don't listen to them. I think if you wanted more constructive advice on like how to grow with it, is that you need to be involved with poets and, mm-hmm. and other people who care about poetry and have some thought on it. And there's a community around it so that you... There's a more informed kind of judgment and maybe you get more informed critique or more. So one answer for that is to like at school, take poetry classes. An easy answer, which I cannot speak to the quality of this answer, mm-hmm. but I know that mm-hmm. DeviantArt even has a pretty strong poetry Ugh, community.
Gross.
Well, but at least you would have people that actually read poetry reading it and not Ugh. Just your friends.
Yeah, but then it's just like that internet thing again where it's just people who don't know what they're...
But there's also... Sometimes. It's also curated to a degree. And generally, like, if you go look at Daily Deviations, there's usually a poem or two.
I guess the thing is you find someone you respect, I guess. Not like a celebrity, but like someone, you know, kind of on your level or maybe higher. And you talk to that person, you like be their friend, and you guys kind of grow together. Does that make sense?
I think it
You're
does.
You're just playing with a tennis ball. You're not even listening to me.
No, I'm listening and I'm thinking about it. And I think you know a couple I mean? Of things. Yeah, and I think it's really hard. Poetry's harder, I would say. I don't know.
Compared
it surprises
to like a short
me.
Story?
Well,
like
it surprises me how obvious it seems to me that things are bad that people don't always think, like drawings or music or photography or whatever.
Right.
Poetry to me is a little bit easier to get away with something. Just to me.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I think that it's tricky. I think you got to get involved with people that understand poetry and not just take your friend's word for it, or make the choice to just totally be your own person and put it out and go your own way and do it because you want to do it. But I sadly think your friends are not a great judge of, unless they're actively reading and writing poetry too, whether they're really a great judge or whether they're just being supportive friends, which there's a lot to be said for supportive friends, but.
Maybe if your friend's Billy Shakespeare.
Yeah. Old Bill. Yeah. Old William.
Mm-hmm.
Mari, where else can you go? I mean, I just don't know. I'm sure there are places on the internet. I know that even, Chuck Palahniuk had that thing for short story writers for a while where you would go there and you'd write short stories, and I think there were themes and things like that, and you'd put them up, and then you'd get, it was like a critique community, and other people would read your stories. And if I remember right, it was even structured in an interesting way where, you know, you had to rate some stories for people to rate yours and things like that. And I don't know if it still exists at all, but it, to me, it seemed like an interesting way for a constructive community of people to develop their skills in a certain way that wasn't like a traditional classroomy way. I'm sure there's something like that for poems. I'm sure there's something like that for, you know, whether it's themes or, you know, constructive criticism, things like that. I think if it's something you really take seriously, when you say poetry is my life, if you really want to take it seriously, I think you need to learn to be criticized and find people that can do it well and whose opinions you respect. And that goes for anything. Like if you're going to be a good anything, you need to be involved in a community of people that understand it well enough that you can kind of all learn from each other.
Yeah. I have trouble showing people my work in progress for comics because most of the time, I don't know, I'm not done with it, so they can't judge it. And I like to be done before people kind of pick at it, which is kind of weird. But yeah. I've dealt with critiques. I know. I don't know. I think it's gotten to the point where my skin is thick enough to where I just filter everything out and try to go with my gut. You were asking about where else they can put things. And you're kind of thinking internet, but I was thinking like local bookstores and selling chapbooks. Because they'll totally, I mean, not totally, but they're probably pretty receptive to getting local writers and cartoonists and selling your chapbooks or mini comics or whatever for whatever price you choose. I don't know if, like, they usually don't lose any money.
You could also do readings and stuff like that. I think there's communities. I think there's, you know, just look for things like that.
Oh. You used to do something. Scott used to do something called Song Fight. And I had listened to one of his songs years before ever meeting him. It was, what, Dirty Chucks?
Mm-hmm.
A Kid Named Ace. I don't think I voted for you. I think I voted for someone else
who like Excellent, Murray.
Won in like a landslide. I don't know. There's like a weird song fight community.
No, but I think that's a good point. Like, and when you would go into the forums, there was usually pretty constructive criticism, and
right.
It wasn't just people hating.
But my thing is that there was a LiveJournal community called Write Fight.
And okay.
I think I was a member, but I don't know if I ever submitted anything. The themes are always a little weird, and it's hard to limit yourself with like a short story, like writing that isn't a tweet, as opposed to a song where it's usually like 3 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
So Write Fight never really took off, but that was a thing.
It's out there. If you're really serious about it, you can make it work. But it's, I don't know. There's like another end of the spectrum is if you. Gosh, I don't want to sound mean about it, but like the idea of wanting to be a poet is different from being someone that writes poetry. They're not necessarily the same thing. Like romanticizing it and having an idea of what Merleman calls it, wanting to wear the beret.
Okay.
Like,
yeah, sure.
You want to be an artist more than you want to make art. And there are things that I have found that I have that for, and I try to go about it with the right, you know, the right attitude. And even writing that little book that Mari illustrated was, I realized it was less about me wanting to be a writer of any kind and more about me just wanting to have a book.
Yeah.
And once I recognized that, I think I was okay with it, and that's what I wanted to do, and I just wanted to write it and have this little book.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty good about it. And so far, I haven't really had the urge to publish anything like that. I still write all the time, but...
So you're saying you've continued to do your own thing, but you don't really have that urge to make
a book. I feel like I got that out of my... You know, clear enough to me that it wasn't like, okay, I don't want to be a writer. I want to write and I like to write, but I don't want it to be the thing that I do. You know what I mean? And I even have that attitude about, you know, I still want to put out a little album, not because I want to be a musician, but just because I want to collect all these songs and make a little album.
Have a thing.
Yeah. And just call it done. And I have tons of things like that. And so I've even thought about, do I want to have a little book of poetry? Not because I want to consider myself a poet, but just that is a thing I would like to create. So
I thought about that too. Yeah.
So I think you need to figure out what you want out of it. And I think the best thing we can say is that you can't, unfortunately, your friends love you and they may not be the best people to give you honest feedback.
That weren't the beret thing is weird too. Cause, I feel like I encounter a lot of people who want to be cartoonists or like, there's kind of a weird, disconnect for them between making comics and being a cartoonist. They think that you have, in order to be a cartoonist, you have to be like professional. You have to have like a bunch of books and be printed in wherever, and everyone has to love you and like you and know who you are. But being a cartoonist just means that you make comics. So you're already done.
Yeah, it's really simple, but it gets, yeah, it's totally, and especially, the, I don't know, the word artist and the word poet are really complicated in that way. Mm-hmm. But even going to comics, there was a time when I was interested in comics, but I had trouble knowing if I just liked comics or if I liked the idea of making them. Right, and so I took Ellen's classes, and I even had that webcomic for a while, and I think one of the webcomics was even about making having comics. Trouble distinguishing between liking something and liking to make it. Like, maybe you love to read poetry, but maybe writing poetry isn't. So for me, the only way that I could know is I decided, well, you know, I'm not going to know unless I try. So I tried to make comics for a while and did a webcomic for a while. Yeah. And, you know, even whether or not I can say it or logically say it, just the experiment sort of showed that I like reading comics more than making them.
Right.
And that kind of, I don't know, I feel like that was a helpful thing for me to learn.
I think my version of that is being a rapper. Because people are like, oh, you should just do it. You should just be a rapper.
But you like raps.
I think more. I like listening to raps more than I would like making.
Man, it's hard to distinguish sometimes. Like, you can say, I love comics, and then...
Totally, yeah.
But does that mean you'd like to make them or read them or talk about them? Like, and that is so... And the idea, particularly of being an artist or a poet or something like that, is so romanticized anyway that I think that people want to be an artist.
Totally.
And that... in their mind is separate from being a person who makes things. And I've really tried to separate that for myself. Like, even in just making my school choice, one of the weird things that came up was like, if I went to Santa Cruz, it's a master of fine arts. And I would be like, you know,
an artist,
a master of, you know, a master fine artist. But the thing that I looked about that was weird about it was that program was less about actually making things and more about, you know, talking about them and writing about them and doing research and doing theory.
Right.
Where I look at the NYU program and it's a master's of professional studies, which doesn't have the same elegant ring to it.
Professional studies. Yeah, that's weird.
But it means you actually make things.
What?
Yeah. So all of the people there make tons of stuff all the time instead of writing 25-page research papers about making things.
That's good.
So... it was a weird choice for me, though, because I do, you know, I am drawn to the romantic idea of it, and the idea of being a master artist sounds appealing and romantic, but the reality of it was like, man, I don't want to spend all my time in a research group and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'd rather just go to the school where people actually make things, even if the word is different.
Yeah.
And I think it, I don't know, I'm still not totally resolved on it because, I don't know. I've decided not to call myself an artist.
Uh-huh. What do you call yourself?
I just make things.
Well, artist is hard. Artist, I don't think of myself as going an back artist
to,
either.
Going
I'm
back
artistic.
To, gosh, who said it? There's, I'll look it up. But there was some, and I think I mentioned on the show before, but there was some older poet speaking to a younger poet, and he basically said to him, he said, well, what do you, I said something like, what do you do? And the young guy said, oh, I'm a poet. And he said, no, poet is a gift word.
Hmm.
A poet is what other people determine you are.
Oh, okay.
You can write verse, and that's what, you know. And so I've kind of decided that artist is a gift word and that I don't feel comfortable calling myself an artist. So I will just make stuff.
A gift word.
Yeah, it's what other people call you. So I don't really want to call myself an artist, but if other people want to call me an artist, that's okay with me.
Sure.
Which is like, you know, with Still Life in the LA Times, it was in the technology section.
Sure.
But in the Huffington Post, it was in the arts section. Right, so even there was like a weird distinction, like between this is a made a thing and this is a...
People don't really need labels like that.
Well, the person doesn't need the label, but the people around them, I think it's useful for them in a weird way.
Yeah.
Like it's the public who need the label.
Yes.
So anyway,
I get that.
I don't know if that helps with anything, except maybe don't call yourself a poet.
Poetry is their life though.
I know. Well, let other people call you that. Good luck. Don't listen to your friends. Publish a book. Send us a copy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Send us some of your poetry. Write a poem about Mare, please.
I don't know if there's any like poetry
poetry
conventions.
I'm sure there are. It's called Dead Poets Society, Maureen.
Dead Poets. I've never seen that movie.
It's got starring Robin Williams. Actually, could please every single person, we asked for this once before, to submit things in the form of a poem. Could you please now just write, you know, little triptychs and story poems about Mare, just about him and send him in and about how much you love him. Yeah, please.
Or how much they hate me.
Okay.
I have three guy friends that I really want to hook up with. No, not at the same time, but they're all such nice guys, I can't lose them as friends. But they are too hot not to want. Hashtag grr.
I know how to solve this, Mara. Do you know how to solve it?
The yoga pants thing?
Fight to the death.
Fight to the death.
Yep.
So you're just going to kill them?
No. They are going to have...
She can't lose them as friends.
Sorry. Well, she won't. She'll lose. They'll be dead. So you get the three guys to fight it out. Duke it out for you.
Well, who says they want to hook up with her?
Well, that, I think, is... Mara, you just nailed it.
Yeah?
So, that, I think, is the big question. Like, do all three of these guys want to hook up? And I don't know. This is hard to say, too. Is it just, like, a one-time hookup thing? Like, she wants to take them all for a test drive and see which one she likes best? Or is it... You know, that gets a little weird.
Uh-huh.
Gosh, I don't understand. There's been so many girls that have been my friend that there's been a possibility of it that I think in general it's been better not to do it.
Yeah.
There are lots of girls, not even a lot, because of this, kind of. There are girls in my life that are still my friend after over 10 years, very long time, because I didn't do this.
Right.
The girls that I have done this with.
Hooked up with?
Typically not. In the friend camp anymore.
Well, you can't say that there is like a direct connection. Maybe those kinds of people who act on their
impulses. There is a semi-direct connection, because once you cross that line and then come out of that line, your relationship is not the same. And I think hard to recover from that.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Mari, I think, is right with the deepest part of this question is who says they want you? Maybe they want
each other. I didn't mean like...
Well, no, but I know. I think that's true. But I think, you know, it's a two-way street, and maybe they want each other and not you. I think that, man, I don't know. You know, I've talked about it a million times. What? I think that just idle, meaningless hookups usually don't lead to good things, especially with your friends. I don't know. You will probably. I can't see this working where you would sleep with all three of them and then have the same relationship with all three of them after. It just doesn't seem possible to me.
You just can't sleep with everyone, person. Yeah,
you can.
Guy or girl, you can't sleep with
everyone. You got to cut down a little bit.
Yeah.
You'll hurt yourself.
Maybe you can.
You can try.
I don't know.
I don't think you should do it.
This is difficult.
You can want them, and that's okay. I think it's okay to want people. I think it's okay to be, I don't know. I feel like there are so many girls that I've known that I was, you know, especially when you're young and a person is attractive.
Yeah.
And it's not even, and it's just all chemicals and pheromones and chemistry. Like,
they got good symmetry.
Yeah. You're going to be attracted to them. And that's just part of life. Like, think about what's going to happen one day if you're married and then you meet attractive dudes. You should probably learn early on to not have sex with every person you think is attractive. I would say that's a pretty good skill to have.
I think about sometimes how...
About me?
No. I feel like everyone... All of my friends are attractive. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't hang out with uggos, are you?
Well, it's the thing is that...
It's Hufflepuffs.
People are... No, Slytherin's the ugly ones.
I hate it.
They have to work harder because they're so ugly. Anyway... Yeah, I think all my friends are attractive, and maybe it's because we're all shallow, but I think it's because I just like them, and you kind of want to surround yourself with people that you like. You know what I mean? And I'm not going to sleep with everybody.
No, and I
don't think it'd be... I never planned on this happening, and this was never me in high school.
Mari, what did you do?
But I feel like right now it's getting kind of incestuous. Our group.
Your high school group?
No. My post-college group. You kind of have to, like, trace things back.
I don't like that.
You're like, oh, this person dated this person.
I hate it.
And then this person lived with this person. And dated this person.
Gross.
So it just kind of happens. So, you know...
That is true. It happens.
With one of these people doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to blow up in your face.
You know, it's true. People do it all the time.
Yeah.
Especially college. Man, everybody...
It's getting on.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. It just happens though. Gene pool diversity.
And I don't really mind it. It's not like, oh, this is so gross. Like everyone's
I hate it.
Friends with each other and
yuckers.
Whatever. It's whatever. I don't know. Do I have anything else to say about this?
I don't know if we have any. You just got to decide. It's your group of friends. You got to figure out how it's going to work. I have a hard time believing that your relationship would stay the same.
I don't really feel like this person wants it. I don't know.
I feel like we, and I blame myself, Mari. Sometimes we just slide immediately into advice mode, but let's just look at the secret for a second.
I have three guys, friends, that I really want to hook up with.
Well, take it even more abstract. I think everybody has friends they want to sleep with.
Yeah. This isn't like your only three friends.
No, but I mean everybody. Don't you? I feel like this is a thing. Totally. And I think it's an interesting secret to think about because I think that, you know, if you evaluate yourself, you can probably think like, of the people I know, if all things were level and there were no consequences or anything, there are people that I would find that I know that are attractive that I would want to have sex with.
Right.
Just, you know, purely on that level. But then you got to think that everybody has a couple of those.
Totally.
And what a crazy network it must be. Like the people, those guys probably have people that everyone has
you're probably on their list too.
Yeah. So you, maybe you can do it and maybe it'll be okay. To me, it probably depends on what stage of life you're in.
Yeah.
Probably if you're in college, it's okay to sleep with everybody because that's probably what people do.
Yeah. More power to you.
Yeah. Have a good time. Be safe.
As a Hufflepuff.
Okay.
I feel like my version of this is there are so many people I want to date, but there's not enough time, and there's kind of a, like, I can't date everybody.
I understand, Mari. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
But you can't.
I can't.
There's just not enough hours in the day to sleep.
And it's not
everybody.
That I'm unhappy with my relationship. I just want everybody.
No, I think that makes me think of that Flight of the Conchord song. About wanting to show all the ladies of the world their gratitude by making love to all of them.
Ah, yes.
I sometimes feel like that. Like, I just, you're all just so beautiful. I just wish I could just show you my appreciation.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, yeah. No, totally. My way of showing that is being nice and...
And drawing butts.
Drawing butts.
Yeah.
Making comics about you. I want to make comics about all these girls.
Perfect.
I don't know how to leave things. Jobs, relationships, and often I think I trick myself or force myself into being unhappy and realize that I'm settling for something that I'm not really 100% about. Having a mid-20s crisis and wanting to give up and go work on a food truck, but worried that I will just end up being unsatisfied no matter what I do. That's some shit, man.
Mari, I know we're getting advicey now, but...
They want it.
They want it so bad. Here's the thing. It's all yeses all around. I'm so this guy. I'm so the one that gets tangled into things and then feels like
you just want to work
leave.
On a food truck.
And I just want, I had this job that was killing me.
Yeah.
And I was like having fantasies of quitting and becoming a lumberjack. So I would never have to touch a computer.
No. Yeah. I think about that too.
But
I wanted to do the, what was it? The fucking Jack Kerouac thing where I live in a cabin and they like helicopter a can of beans every now and then.
Sounds beautiful. Or so here's what I think. I think your 20s are I have three things I think. Mm-hmm. I think your 20s are made for bad decisions. So, and by that I mean don't worry about making bad decisions so much in your 20s because you're just gonna no matter what you do, no matter how much you stress about it.
Yeah.
When you get into your 30s, I think you'll look at your 20s and think every single decision I made was ridiculous. And so you can do it. You don't have to worry about making the wrong choice. I think also I get real dedicated and real tied up and real like, you know, like you work somewhere and you feel like you have to keep that job and it's important or you get in a relationship.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot to say about sticking with things.
Yeah.
But I feel like sometimes the bigger, harder thing is to know when to quit. And that's a tough one. And man, I'm this is so up my alley right now because I was so having such a hard time with my job.
Yeah.
Before I quit. And for the last few months I've just done whatever I wanted and bummed around and made a video game. Went to Mexico. Just
did you say you made video game?
Made a video game.
made video game.
Made video game. No. Yeah, I just gosh,
totally.
You gotta get out of there. If you wanna and if you're in your I had a mid-20s crisis. My whole early 20s, I just moved all over not knowing what to do and just kind of went wherever was the next opportunity or whatever. And my mid-20s crisis was deciding to go to college. Terrible idea. in that I didn't consider it well enough or choose the school well enough and all that stuff. But, yeah. You know, again, 20s are made for bad decisions. So I think you are feeling trapped, and staying in something because you're feeling trapped is a terrible, terrible reason to do it. And when you're 40 years old and you've got a mortgage and you've got a wife and you've got 3 kids, that's when you can learn to like deal with being trapped. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that's when you can learn to deal with like, oh, this is, you know, it's my duty. I've got to stay with this. I've got to be a man about it and just do this.
Sure.
But when you're 20 is not the time to do that. When you're 20, you can be a total flake and just quit your job and walk out if you want to.
Yeah, you can, do that dramatic, like, I quit. Turning your gun in your badge.
What have I said? I haven't said you can't fire me because I quit. It's a regret. I have said I am what I am, and if you don't like it, you can fire me. And I didn't get fired then. And then another time I said something along those lines and then just walked out and quit. Like, I've done that. Just walk straight out the door and quit.
How's it feel?
It feels great.
Oh.
And I've also done the, like, stress it. Can't, like, you know, draft your resignation letter repeatedly.
Right.
I've done a couple of those. And that's, it is such a relief to get. Man, the job I quit, it was not a bad company, not a bad people. But truly, every day, I think about how relieved I am that I don't work at there. At totally. That place anymore, and how totally. Right the decision was to get out of that place. So in your 20s is no time to be feeling like you got to stick with it. And I, you know, when I was 21 or 22 is when I got my first big programming job, and I was the lead developer, and it was like a serious thing that I couldn't just walk out of. It wasn't like working at the Gap or something where I could just leave.
Sure.
Okay,
but maybe that's what this person's.
So what I'm saying, but then you put in your 2 weeks notice, which is like the accepted way to do it. At this last job, I wanted to be so careful. I gave an entire month's notice, which is plenty of time. I even did interviews, I did all this stuff. So you can get out. You don't owe your employer anything, you know?
You're like, just a cog, man.
Well, the thing about it that was really hard for me to realize, but is a really simple concept, is they pay you to be there. And when you don't want to be there anymore, they don't pay you anymore. And you're both...
That's how it works.
Like, it sounds real simple, but it's hard to realize sometimes when you're in it because you feel like you have to be there and all these things depend on you. But you don't owe that company anything. They owe you money because you work there and they pay you the money. And when you stop working there, they stop paying you, which is another problem. But I kind of wish I had spent my 20s doing more crappy jobs.
Me too.
How old wish I had done mine?
No, I wish I had more crappy jobs.
Didn't you wear a hot dog suit for a while?
I wasn't a hot dog. I was a
milkshake. Where are you?
I think it was a milkshake. No, it was like it's like a soda cup.
Yeah. So I never had a job like that.
But only like once, and then the other times I had to wave a sign.
The good thing though about having good jobs, it meant like, you know, I could quit and then not work for many years. So a lot of my 20s, I didn't even work because I'd saved up a lot of money, and that's why I'm not working right now. But man, if you want to go work on a taco truck, go work on a taco truck. It'll be awesome. Go move to Portland and work on a food truck and just talk to cute girls all day.
Yeah,
all day. That'll be your job. All day, all night, you'll get tips. You'll get, like, free funnel cakes. It doesn't even matter. You don't need to worry about it so much. So jobs are one thing because you do not owe them anything, and you can get out of there. So please get out of – everybody, quit your job, please.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of in a situation with these kids, and I feel like they're depending on me to be there. And to draw.
Do you feel trapped
them.
By that job?
I don't feel. Well, I feel a little trapped. It's just shitty hours and shitty pay, or not shitty pay. Well, shitty pay because it's shitty hours. And it takes me like an hour or two to get to the job. I'm there for an hour. It takes me another 2 hours to get back, and so it's like 5 hours that I've lost. 5 hours I could have spent drawing, and then there's all that build up time. Going to this job and like where I can't do anything.
Yeah.
So pretty much my whole day revolves around this 1 hour where I get some compensation and then I'm destroyed for the rest of the day.
Well, but that's a tricky thing where your compensation is probably, you know, more than the money you get because you're helping out kiddos. Is that true? You don't hate those kids?
Wait, what?
No, that the compensation, and I think this is true for lots of education, but the compensation you get for a job like that isn't just the money you get, but like dealing and interacting with the kids.
Well, like, the compensation is usually dealing with children who do not respect you.
That isn't...
And who don't like you.
That sounds really good.
Or maybe they like you too much, so they're mean to you because they're children.
Then I think you should quit your job. I think that everyone listening right now should quit their job.
I'm just going to ride this out till May because I like some of these kids.
Well, that's another thing you can do is set a time limit on it. And I set a time limit, I think in December, I set a time limit that I was going to try to make it until June or July to pay off some student loans. And I think once I resolved to do that, I like quit the next week.
Yeah, actually, I don't really have that much time left there. They're going to be out of school soon.
Yeah, Mario, you got like a month. I think you'll make it.
If that, I don't even know when they graduate.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. Those kids are going to go out in the world and be Hufflepuffs, and it's going to be no problem.
You think? No, these kids are Slytherins.
All these kids
through
are
and through.
So,
all of them.
That is one side of the coin is the job. Everybody, please quit your job. Jobs are stupid. Having jobs is silly. You should be... It's silly. Why would you spend all your day sitting around?
Sam Weber, that guy, that illustrator.
He's real good.
like it's a marble sculpture.
Yeah, that guy's good.
He said that quitting is underrated.
Quitting is the best idea.
Yeah.
I feel like two of the best decisions, three of the top 10 best decisions I've ever made were quitting a job. And it's so hard to see that when you're in it, but man, you're not going to regret it. There's other jobs. Like you might regret saying, man, I can't believe I spent the last 5 years here. I should have quit years ago, but you're not going to 5 years later, you're probably not going to say, man, I should have kept that job. You'll have another job. There's millions of
probably.
Jobs. Don't worry about it. The relationships thing is way scarier and way trickier.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think that's way easier. You just say, no way, girlfriend.
I don't know. My feeling is in relationships is that in a job you don't owe anything, but in relationships you are both investing and you do kind of owe something. But that said...
Well, you owe it to... Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I think that said that the same thing applies is that if you're in it because you feel trapped is a terrible reason to be in a relationship.
Yes. And you owe it to that person to be truthful.
And get out of there.
Yeah.
So everybody quit your job. Everybody break up with your significant other.
Uh-huh.
And give your neighbor a blowjob.
Okay. There's another school of thought here, and it's to keep your day job and then, you know, follow your heart. In whatever way that, but if your job's killing you, sure, yeah, no.
I'm so burned by that because if you know those jobs just get you and you can't do anything. I don't know. I feel like I like it sink or swim a little more. And I know that you can do the weekend basement thing, but I think you just you're in your 20s, man. Get out of there.
Yeah,
you're young, you're handsome, you're capable. You probably feel like, you know, you're a really important, pivotal person at this job.
Totally.
But they don't, who cares? No. They don't care. They're a company. You're just somebody they pay. They'll get somebody else to pay. You go work at a food truck and you will have an awesome summer. You will have such a good summer.
Food truck sounds way better.
Man.
Food. Truck.
Yeah, God. There's so many good food trucks. Move to Portland if you don't already live there. Work in a food truck. You will have the best summer.
We have like one food truck here.
Portland is half food trucks.
Now we have like... Board.
It's like a Mad Max.
Yeah, I know.
So that's Scott's, is that all our secrets?
Scott's from Portland now.
I love Portland so much. I love it. Do we have any more?
Is there more? We have feedback, don't we?
Oh wait, we got one.
I've had this pretty intense crush on someone for a while now, and I'm due to move in with them. ... I try to rationalize it as a way of getting over them, but I don't know if I'm actually doing it to get with them.
So, Mari. Yeah. On the list of good ways to hook up with somebody, would you say that signing a lease with them is a good way?
To hook up?
Yeah.
Wouldn't call it hooking up.
Okay.
But it's kind of a surefire way to like basically be in their house,
okay.
I guess.
So, okay. Well, okay. If you were trying to get over someone, would you think that it was a good way to get over them would be to sign a lease with
them?
No.
I don't think so at all.
So here's,
I don't think seeing them every day is a good way to
know. Okay, here's a couple of angles on this. One, I'm terrified for you because when you sign a lease, you have to be there for so long. And if you get in,
any amount of, if it's like a 4 month lease, that's still 4 months.
Let me drop some scenarios here, Mark.
Okay, drop it.
Scenario number one, you move in and your bedroom is right next, and you really are into this girl.
Oh my god.
Her bedroom's right next to your.
You know, yours. I thought this was a girl talking about a guy.
Either way.
Yeah.
The girl or guy is in the bedroom right next to you through the thin walls, and every night you have to listen to her have loud sex.
Yep.
And you love her.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a pleasant way to live. That's not going to be good.
Well, is that like the kind of the dog of the hair thing? Hair of the dog? Dog of the hair. Groundhog.
Yeah, that might teach you not to be so into her. I think another scenario.
That'll teach you.
another scenario would be that you hook up with her and it's super awkward and not good. And you're not into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to continue living there. And it's this weird, awkward thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think another scenario, which may be a good one. And actually, this one might be the most likely. And maybe weirdly enough, this is a good way to approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that living with people is gross. And other people are gross. And girls are gross. With girls is gross.
Is it? I've never lived with a girl. Well, I guess I have.
It's gross.
But she was gross. No, she wasn't gross.
Well, living with people is gross. And like being I don't know. I have come out of living long term with people. As I've gotten older, it's been easier to like come out and be, you know, on good terms with them. But man, it's also easy to just end up hating the people you live with.
Especially at this age, people just do weird shit.
Yeah, man, good grief. There's been people that were, especially early 20s, people that were like, incredibly good friends, like friends from many years that I moved in with, and it absolutely, living with them ruined the relationship. And it would get, oh my gosh, it would come down to the most obscenely stupid stuff, like putting names on the milk jug.
Right.
Like, it just gets ridiculous. So
living
with people, especially if you haven't done a lot of it, and you're just, oh, I pray that you have lived with other people and that this isn't both of you moving out of your parents' house or something. Because that is the worst. People inexperienced with living with other people are dangerous people to live with.
They are. They're the worst.
So it's a bad idea.
Abort.
I mean, you may end up not being interested in them.
No, like, this is kind of the shit. Like, where you can't abort because you've already like signed a lease and now you're this shitty roommate.
I'm due to move in with them. You gotta fake your death or something. Well,
it could work out. It could be okay.
Okay, here's what I think. I think that, not to be down on you, but a crush coming into fruition and blossoming into something beautiful from living, you know, like being roommates with somebody, it does not seem like a common thing. And I have had a roommate or two that I think hoped very much that would happen. Like
with you,
with me,
okay,
like a roommate that was incredibly into me and was hoping that us like hanging out and watching movies and eating dinner, you know, like being around the house, that would blossom. And it did not.
Yeah.
And
of course
not. So I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it is a good way to get with them. Maybe I should say get with them.
Yeah,
you may it W-I-D, may win. Be a good way to get over them, but it might also be a good way to hate their guts.
Yeah, kind of the same thing. But this could end up really okay,
beautifully.
Maybe it kind of sounds like they don't really know each other that well, and they're kind of just
doing it,
just moving in together. You know, because it's haha, why not? And you know, you have one of those like long distance internet crushes. Where it feels very deep, and then you meet them in real life, and you're like, oh.
Then you move in together?
We can be friends. You know, I don't know. We've had people who have
just
moved
show
in.
Show up.
Move in who we know through the internet, and I didn't hook up with them, but somebody did.
Whoa, Mari.
And turned out okay for a while. I don't know. And I think it's okay to be kind of attracted to your friends, right? You know what I mean?
Do you think... All right.
Yeah.
Well,
because I wouldn't want to live with someone who like was completely different from myself.
Can I just
and ugly,
Mari?
What?
Do you think this is from your brother about me?
No. Okay.
Mari,
see, I
do
didn't.
You think...
No. Because this person spells rationalize with an S.
And your brother would never do that.
Because
that's a Canadian or English spelling. That's the Queen's English.
Okay.
So.
I think
Mari's,
it's English.
So Mari's brother
did not write this.
Even though we've never I think we met very quickly in passing. But Mari's brother's been having dreams about me. And
my brother
has asked about me living with him. So, Mari, maybe your brother has a crush on me, which is fine. And maybe he just wants to get over me. That's why he asked today.
He doesn't have a crush on you. He's trying to please me because I'm the older brother. He's trying to make sure that my people
are taken care of.
Yeah.
So you don't think he wants to get with me?
No, I don't think so at all.
Okay. Well, that hurts my feelings.
I'm sorry. That. I think he might be seeing someone. I'm not sure.
Way to just... Yeah. Thanks, Mari.
I was supposed to send him my ID so he could go to a 21 plus show, but I think I've missed the boat on that.
You blew it. You're a bad brother.
Yeah. I told my mom about it, and she was like, no, don't do that. So then I kind of wanted to do it even more, but I think
you're bad kids.
I think I... yeah.
Mari, do we have one more? I don't even know anymore. We got 100 more? Thousands more?
We got feedback.
Mari, we've been talking for like an hour and 40 minutes.
It's a long show. I think,
how did it get so long? It's because we talked for an hour about Harry Potter.
Sure. We should just have a Harry Potter podcast.
Probably. I don't feel like editing this, so this is going to be a two-hour show.
That's fine.
Okay. We're going to have a two-hour show. We do have... Thanks for everyone for sending in those secrets. We have a handful of other secrets that we like that we may hit in the future, but we are always in need of them. And I don't... Yeah. For those of you that send in secrets that we don't read, don't feel bad about it. There's lots of reasons we don't pick secrets. Sometimes they're too long. Sometimes they're too similar to other secrets. Sometimes we just don't have anything to say about them. It doesn't mean they're bad secrets. It just means that it's us, not you. So just keep sending them in. Get your friends to send them in. Somebody wrote in telling us that all of her friends would confide in her their secrets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why she's not just either A, telling us their secrets, or telling them to write in.
I wish that we had a way of acknowledging these secrets that we can't get to, but we can't like reply or.
I don't, Mari. It's tricky. It's a slippery slope. Just send in your secrets. That's it. And speaking of, you can also send in feedback, and you can do it in the form. You can send it to secrets@kidsandtelcast.com. We have a couple of them that we wanted to hit, just a handful, in the Croatian Mets Memorial feedback. Mari.
I made my friend and all of you. Card almost a year ago, and I still haven't given it to him.
So sad face.
It's one of those backwards.
Yeah, it's one of those weird ones faces. With a smiley mouth with it's the that, eyes underneath.
The new school where they put the parentheses.
I don't understand. I had just two quick comments on this. One, give it to him, you goofball. Two, we were not on top of our game for the Shamrock Shake season. We were behind the times.
Why?
Just because we didn't talk about it till after.
Oh, well, how am I supposed to...
I know, well, because I...
Neither of us eat at McDonald's. I know, I've never had a Shamrock Shake.
But I just want to say that we're going to try to do better than that for Cuatro de Mayo. But because I'm a bum.
Yeah.
Do you not remember that we determined that last year that Cuatro de Mayo was the day that you have to tell your crush that you have a crush on them?
I think you determined that, and I'm still confused about why this is happening.
Every Cuatro de Mayo. That's not how holidays work. Every Cuatro de Mayo for ages, for generations, it has been the day that it's not Valentine's Day where you deal with your current squeeze. Cuatro de Mayo is when you tell the person that you have a crush on them, you like them, by sending them a card that says all of you with a drawing of an olive on it. It's an age-old tradition.
Is this what like Mexico did to Spain before gaining now independence?
They gained independence.
Oh.
Yes. And that's exactly what happened.
Okay, so this all of you thing.
California sent an all of you card to the United States and became a state on that day.
Where are wait, what?
that's a little piece of US history for you. So,
okay.
Cuatro de Mayo, we're giving you a jump start on it because who knows when our next show will be. I just want everyone to remember that's get started on those all of you cards to this person. Get it out there, man. If you need to wait to this year, tell them that it's vine ripened, that it is an excellent vintage. It's a luscious 2011 all of you card, an excellent year, and that you still all of them.
Yeah,
Mari, you don't seem convinced.
Do you like olives?
I love them.
Okay, I love them. All of them.
I all love them.
Some people don't like olives.
And fools.
I like olives. After hearing how many good things you guys had to say about OkCupid on one of your past episodes, I just had to check it out. And already I've met someone and we're only just kind of been hanging out on maybe dates.
Okay.
But I definitely feel like this could go somewhere. I just want to say thanks for the little bout of confidence you guys gave me to try something new. Heart.
That's nice, Mari. And I'm glad about this. You had some success on OkCupid. Oh,
me? This person?
You have.
Oh, yeah.
This person's doing well. I have had incredibly strange and mixed results.
Yay,
from
those
this
are
site.
Fun, though.
I will... So everyone... man, okay.
Couple everyone should here. Do it. Everyone should just
everybody
go on
after you quit your job. No, I think, first of all, I want to say, Mari, you've noticed it as well. We get a lot of sad people emails.
Oh, God.
So many.
What's
we read
wrong
them all.
With you
we
guys?
Feel so, gosh, we feel so bad for you guys.
I...
We can't read every email of everyone who hates their life and hates themselves and is sad. So.
Maybe Scott feels sad. I'm more confused.
I feel bad for you guys because I have trouble finding my place in the world as well. We don't read all of those because we've read so many in the past and we're, you know.
We don't read them on air.
We do. We always, yes. That's
we
true.
Read them.
Yes. We just don't necessarily find them on the show. So, maybe you guys could get an OkCupid account because even you could get a pen pal in some other city or so, you know, like it's an interesting site. It's fun to play with, even if you don't get anything out of it. I've more or less given up on it as a way to actually find a meaningful relationship through it. But I still meet cool people. I met a cool person in the Bay Area that I hung out with that I had met on OkCupid. It was really weird because out of nowhere, right before I was planning to go there for school, she wrote and said, if you're ever in San Jose, we should hang out. And I had bought San Jose tickets.
That's so scary. I feel like I've told people, like, if you're ever in Seattle, we should hang out. And, then it happens. And it's like, this is kind of weird.
Well, anyway, I hung out with her and she was a nice gal. I think, speaking of, I don't know, I'm so close to deleting my account and I probably will soon.
Just do it. Quit your account.
I know, I need to. I did do something that was interesting that I'm homeless now and I didn't know where to set the city, I set it to New York because that's where I'm going to be. And man.
What? Are you getting messages?
Mari, they're like a rabbit out there.
Oh, really?
It's like a famine.
What?
I don't know. I had heard this before that there's a weird disproportionate number of single ladies to men in New York City, and that it's a
ladies to men is my new boy band.
It sounds good. It sounds real good. But anyway, there's a lot of hotties out there. There's a lot of crazy girls out there. I've met some people that might be interesting to hang out with, but I won't be there for many months, so we'll see. So anyway, OkCupid, it's pretty cool. It's a cool place.
Yeah.
I also hate it, but I love it.
I kind of feel like quitting Facebook. Should I just do that?
Please do. I hate Facebook so much.
I keep thinking about how, well, people won't be able to contact me in this certain way. Like, you know, I like being easily reached if someone needs something. But I also get really mad when people just use the site instead of email.
You know what it is? You know what's happening? It's really funny because I just saw a chart about it, but it's almost like likening the rise and fall of social media sites to, or even internet sites in general.
Oh God, to what?
To like the rise and fall of empires. And like was just looking at, you know, the average amount of time that certain site, when they rose and when they fell. And right now, Facebook is kind of on the longish end of one of those.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I feel, I don't know, my feeling is that it's arced. And I think that for two reasons.
It's jumped the shark.
Well, yeah, kind of. Phil Schiller just said that about Instagram.
You know what? It has. It definitely has.
That. But anyway, the thing with Facebook is that I feel like, you know, and it's always iterations and always better and newer things, and it's definitely deeply entrenched, but I think it's fundamentally flawed in that it doesn't have the circle type concept, and not that Google's doing it right.
No, they're not.
But that's the new thing. Like the new generation of these social media sites have more control over who sees what. And Facebook is just such a mess now where everybody has 700 friends and nobody who's an idiot is, and the new layout is inscrutable and all that. So I don't know. I hate Facebook. Everybody delete your accounts.
You can't.
When you quit your job.
There's no reason for me to interact with any of those people.
Yeah, you don't need it. Get out of here.
And I don't, like, okay.
Get an OkCupid account instead.
That's how people can reach
me. At least you can probably have sex with them. You probably can't have sex with everybody in your Facebook.
I wouldn't want to.
Mm. See? There you go.
I wonder if anyone's ever found a sibling on... Oh, was that one of their questions or something?
No, that was the article that somebody, like, found their long-lost brother. They had arranged a date, and when they went and met, and it turned out that they were... Yeah, it was crazy.
That's funny.
I hope that happens to me.
Yeah.
And I hope that I go on an OkCupid date, and it's through some weird confusion, it's Mari.
That'd be so weird.
I wouldn't be that surprised. Mari, do we have one more feedback? Is that... Ah, yes.
I can't have a shamrock shake anymore without thinking about you guys and that secret. Ugh.
I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say to that one. We were behind on the shamrock shakes. I feel good about it in that we've given it a little more meaning. Because I feel like St. Patrick's Day is one of those sort of marginal holidays that doesn't have a lot of depth and meaning. And I think...
How dare you?
That it's just, you know, it's lost. You know, people just don't think it's about Jesus anymore.
It's not about... It's not about spreading cheer and
I know it's about giving, wearing green and getting pinched and drinking.
Getting,
I think
getting like benched,
pinched.
Oh, pinched.
Yeah, pinched,
pinched.
But now it has this almost Russian roulette quality in it, in that there's a new St. Patrick's tradition in that whenever you take a drink from a shamrock shake, you will not be sure whether or not semen has been spit into it.
Yeah, I don't really feel like shamrock shakes have been ruined for you.
You don't think so?
Totally fine.
Yeah, they're fine. You don't feel bad.
I can't sit in chairs now because people have had sex in them.
We can't have sex in pools now. Yeah. Thank you. Man, this is a long episode. I don't know. I'm too lazy to trim it down. I don't have it in me anymore. So I hope you guys like this marathon episode. Couple
it's probably
of
our best episode yet.
Is
though.
It?
I think so.
Because we talked about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We did, man. Okay. Well, let's talk a bit about secrets. We dished out a lot of advice on this. That's never something we set out to do, but when people write and then say, what should I do? Or am I a bad person? We tend to do it. So I gotta say, I long for the old days, mm-hmm. the old gods, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. Buttersprinkles hand job guy, mm-hmm. where people just would send in something like
just
this
weird shit.
Here is a secret.
And shamrock shake.
Yeah. Yeah. That I'm not here to be judged before men. God will judge me on judgment day. And I don't care about your advice or your words. Here's my secret. And I brought it to you as a gift.
Sure.
And then we talk about it. And I feel, you know, shows evolve, shows grow. I feel like I've divulged so many secrets that I'm running out of things to say that are embarrassing about myself. But those are the secrets we love. We relish. We want to help you guys out too, but please, if you've got any ridiculous, embarrassing, crazy things like you know, Buttersprinkles Handjob Guy or Shamrock Shake or sure. any of those, we really love
those. Those were so early.
Those were the old days, Mari. Those were the good old days. We got to get more of those. If you do need some advice, you got to understand that, you know, if we've answered a similar email, we're probably not going to hit it. We do, through some weird, unintentional tradition, talk about blowjobs at least once an episode.
I guess.
So that works. If you have a secret or your friends have a secret or any secrets, you can go to kissandtellcast.com/tell. Enter it anonymously there. You can also do all that social nonsense like Twitter, Kiss and Tell Cast, or Facebook, Kiss and Tell Cast, or Tumblr, Kiss and Tell Cast, all that nonsense.
Yeah.
If you would be so kind, you could go to iTunes and give us a little rating and a review. That would be lovely.
I forgot about that.
I know. People don't do it. Tweet about us. Do all that dumb stuff. Mari, do you have any show notes or shout outs or anything else with a really SC sound?
Snoop.
Snoop Dogg.
Not really.
I have just one. Mari, I made a game.
Yeah.
And I know you hate it.
I don't hate it.
Mari doesn't love the game I made. I took the month of March and I made a game, and it's called Singing Star. And if you would do something for this show, I'm so grateful for that. You know, there were a lot of really lovely people out there who bought the book that Mari and I did, or bought Mari's books.
Oh, really?
Even bought, yeah, like even just the 99-cent ebook of that.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, if you like the show, it's really easy to just give us a buck, you know? I took my own advice and quit my job, and Mari's poor, except he's rich today.
I'm rich.
So go buy Mari. Mari's got a new run of Letters to an Absent Father coming out. So go get one of those if you haven't. You can get a copy for $5. For $10, he will draw a custom Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a copy, this one has a new cover, and yeah. I know you want to have all of them. If you would like, you can also... I know you have your iPhone right there, your iPad, your i-whatever.
Uh-huh.
Just go to the App Store, please. Search for Singing Star and get it for $1. And you know what, Mari? I think I'm going to be a pal, and I think I'm going to say that on the day that I release this, I'm just going to make it free. So anybody who listens to this on the first day, just go get it free, and yeah. you can play it and show your friends and get those suckers to buy it. Get your mom to buy it.
Can they search Scott Garner, too?
They can search Scott Garner, too. And it would be so, 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 so helpful to me
uh-huh.
to get some ratings. just to bump it up in the ranks a little bit. Because that if you can get in that top 100, Murray.
Yeah. How many stars do you think you need to get?
I don't think stars matter. I think you just need people rating it.
Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
I would love to have five stars.
How many ratings?
I don't even know. It's black magic. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. So that would be so lovely. We'll have links to this stuff in the show notes. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sending your secrets. I don't know whether I should apologize for the 2-hour-long episode or whether I should consider it sort of a boon, like an award for Earth Day.
We're catching up for next or last week.
And all the other 9 months. So thank you for writing in. You know all the stuff to do. And we will talk to you soon. Happy Quattro de Mayo, and that's it.
Bye.
I want to tell you, magic spell.